everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. Glad you could be with us again this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Man, we got another good show for you today. Shauna Beeman's on the show today. She's going to be speaking to women in particular about how to take their past and put it behind them and to move forward. And she has specifically targeted ex-offenders today. You don't want to miss this one. We're going to be talking with Shauna Beeman right after this. You're listening to The Journey of Hope. This is Rodney Mathers. Hey, y'all. Got some really cool email this week. Some from the Ukraine. Nice note there. And another nice note from London, England. What about you? Drop me a line. I'd like to know how you're doing, okay? You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Welcome back. My special guest today is Shauna Beeman. She's here with me on the phone. Shauna specializes in helping people set goals and achieve their dreams. Her new book is The Woman's Guide to Living Your Dreams. Shauna, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on, Rodney. I'm excited to share some ideas.
Well, welcome to The Journey of Hope. And why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you came to this point where you're writing books and being a life coach and that sort of thing.
Okay, so just a little bit of history. I grew up, I was fairly poor when my mother and father were married. And then I come from a divorced family. And as I grew up, I really never was talked to about college, and so I went on my life without going to college, and I worked really, really hard, had a great attitude, put all of my effort into all of my jobs, and really was able to advance through my jobs without a college degree. Mm-hmm. So I started out as a receptionist and ended up actually working for a company that had over $10 million a year in revenue as their chief operating officer. And
wow.
So being a mother, I really wanted to work from home, and it just happened to where the place that I was working for, where I was the chief operating officer, actually the owners decided to sell off their franchises. And so it was strange how it all came together, and I started working from home. I opened up my own little bookkeeping business, doing people's books, but then I decided I wanted more than just doing bookkeeping, and so I wrote a book, and now for the last few years, I've been out helping people achieve their dreams, and I mentor students at the Utah Valley University, and that's where I am. I'm now on my second book and doing speaking and training and really enjoying it and having a lot of fun.
So you've gotten to a point where you've realized your dreams, correct?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, given the audience that we have here on Journey of Hope, can a woman with a felony conviction in prison time in her life still achieve her dreams?
Yes. I think that anyone, whether you've been incarcerated or not, can achieve your dreams. You may not have an advantage being incarcerated, but if you really want something in life and you want it badly enough, I really believe that you can get it. So the first thing that you really need to do is to determine what it is that you really want. And then once you know what you want and why you want it, then you go after getting it. And there are all mm-hmm. kinds of ways, and we can discuss that, but I think okay. one of the big ways would be to find a mentor. That would be where I would start out with. If I had been incarcerated, I would probably find a mentor who could lead and guide me, give me referrals, and just really show me the way.
Okay. Now, one of the things in your book, and you start your book off talking about things like goal setting in order mm-hmm. to achieve your dreams. What is the difference between a goal and a dream? What's the difference between those?
So everybody has dreams, but not everyone goes after their dreams. So a dream is just, it's something you just want in life. It's something that you wish for. But a goal, when you take that dream and you really put a plan with it, so you put a deadline and you create a plan and you know how to get there, that's a goal. That's something that is really achievable and something you can move toward.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about goals. You go into a lot of detail about how to actually write goals. One of the things in your book that I want to tell the listeners that's really cool is you've got places for people to write things down, and I like that in a book. But how does one go about writing goals? What is that process? How does that work?
Okay, so I use the acronym DREAMS because that gives you all of your criteria that you really need to create a real goal. And what that stands for is the D is for deadline. And that is to put down a deadline. What happens to a lot of people and where they get lost in goal setting is they want to do something, but because they don't have a deadline, they just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. If I know I have to do something by this Saturday, you can bet it's going to be done. But if I don't have a deadline on that, I may not do it for another month. I may never do it. Uh-huh. So that's really one of the most important factors. The next thing would be that it has to be realistic. And I really like using it as a reward, too. There are two different ways you can use that. Are in the book, I share it as realistic. And what you don't want to do is have a goal that's not realistic. And not realistic would be, I'm going to swim to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to make $1 million next week, you know, without a plan. So you have to make sure that it's realistic, because if you set a goal that isn't and then you don't achieve it, then it'll be very demotivational and you may not want to set another goal and go for it. So mm-hmm. realistic would be the R. And then the E stands for exclusive, and this is another really important factor, is that the goal has to be yours. So let's say you're married and your husband or wife wants you to become a doctor or whatever it is, or they want you to go work in a factory, whatever they want you to, or lose weight. If you're not motivated to do that and you're doing it because someone else wants you to do it, you're not going to have any motivation. So you have to make sure that it's your goal. It's that you are the one that actually wants that goal. Then you have a purpose and you have a reason for going after it, and you'll be motivated to get there if you know that it's for you and it's and you have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The A is attainable. It's, again, that's like realistic. It really has to be attainable. The M is measurable. And what measurable means is that you can actually measure your goal. So if you set a goal and you say, I want to lose weight, and I want to weigh 150 pounds. Let's say you have 40 pounds to lose. what you could do is you could break that down, and you could say, every week I need to lose 3 pounds. So you would break that down, and at the end of every 3 weeks, you could actually say, am I at where I need to be in order to reach my goal by X date that I've set?
Mm-hmm.
So that way, that means measurable. You can actually measure it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the measurable and then specific, just specific actually goes along with positive. And what you want it to do is be, when you set your goal, you want it to be in present tense and you want it to be positive. So a specific would be, I weigh, and I weigh 150 pounds, or
mm-hmm.
I make $40,000 a year. So you want it to be specific, and that's how you would put that. But that's how you set a goal. You need to have all of those factors when you set the goal, and you write it in one or two sentences.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the R for just a second. Realistic, and the examples you gave were obvious, swimming to Hawaii. But how do people have reasonable expectations when they write goals? What kind of advice would you give along those lines?
I would say if someone else has done it, then it's possible.
Okay.
So, and it may not be possible for everyone, but if someone else has done it, that means it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good way to put it into perspective.
Okay. Now, a big part of your book talks about having a balanced life, and it's a big part of the book. I mean, it's a large section of the book. But could you tell us and give us, you know, some ideas of what a balanced life is? What is a balanced life?
Okay. A balanced life is when you feel good in all areas of your life. So you have some spirituality, which that's different for everyone. It can mean inner peace. It could mean that you're doing charitable things and you feel good about yourself. It could mean meditation. It could mean your church, your God, anything that is spiritual to you. So you
okay.
have some spirituality in your life. You
okay.
have family or relationships, whether it's family or whether it's friends, that you actually have a support group of people that you can be around.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is, let's see, financial. So you have to have some sort of goal, or you have to have some sort of stable support in the financial realm. So a job, or you have to, let's say, if you're a stay-at-home mother, then you, of course, have to have some support either through a spouse or, you know, assistance or whatever that may be. And
okay.
then, let's see, self-improvement. I'm trying to think of all the ones I've done. Self-improvement would be that every day or every week, but I like every day, that you're doing something for yourself to improve either your mind or moving forward with a goal that you have. So whether you're listening to a self-help tape or what else? I'm trying to think what else there could be for self-improvement. Your attitude, that you're working on your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge one, because I think that an attitude will get you further in life than any other thing. And I know, just by me not having a degree, that my attitude got me more places than I would have ever gone if had I had a bad attitude about life or about the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then also making sure that you believe in yourself and your abilities to get somewhere. That's part of self-improvement.
What about,
and then the mm-hmm. go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, what about things like exercise? Is that part of that as well?
Yes, and health would be another area. And
mm-hmm.
not only is it exercise, but it's also making sure that you're getting plenty of rest and that you're drinking plenty of water and just maintaining a balanced diet, that you're actually eating some good things. But exercise is definitely in there. And so it's all a culmination of making sure that you're doing things that are good for yourself, for your mind, and for your body.
My wife and I are on a big exercise kick right now. We bought a treadmill, and we have a bike, and we're trying to hit it every day. But I tell you, it's making us feel better. It's not very much fun to do it, but it sure is making us feel better. Shauna, we're going to take a real quick break. Shauna Beeman, the book is called The Women's Guide to Living Your Dreams, and we'll have more with Shauna right after this. You're listening to The Journey of Hope. This is Rodney Mathers. Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you today about something called the Jam Buddy chord chart. Now, I know there are a lot of you out there that enjoy using playing music with your downtime. And one of the things you can do to improve your music playing is to try out something called the Jam Buddy chord chart. The Jam Buddy chord chart helps you learn something called the Nashville numbering system, and it enables you to play songs in different keys. It's a really cool little tool. It's called the Jam Buddy chord chart. You find it at angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. Click on the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart. You're going to get a free one-page sample. If you use your downtime constructively with something like playing music, this is just for you. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart, and it's found at angiesbanjo.com. Talking to Shauna Beeman, the Woman's Guide to Living Your Dreams. More with Shauna now. And Shauna, you talk about affirmations and incantations in your book. We've talked about affirmations on the show before, but tell us what an affirmation is and the difference between that and an incantation and how that helps us.
Okay. So an affirmation is really just a short statement. I feel good. People love me. I am healthy. That kind of thing. That's an affirmation, just saying something to yourself. An affirmation can even be one of your goals. Mm-hmm. You know, I weigh 150 pounds. I run marathons. Whatever it is, that's an affirmation. What an incantation is, and I teach people in the morning to do an incantation. That they should in the morning do an incantation, and what that is it's more of a powerful statement. It's a statement with just more than one short sentence. And one of the ones that I like is, and I teach it to do first thing in the morning. You get up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, "I will win because I have faith, courage, and enthusiasm, and I am happy, healthy, wealthy, and calm." And then you can say something like, "I do what I love, and I love what I do. And today is going to be a good day because," and then you tell yourself why it's going to be a good day. So you know what you're going to do that day. Is it something that's going to be toward my goals? Because I'm going to meet with my mentor, or because I'm going to go find a job, or because I get to go to a job, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have a job. And then you say, "And as a result, I..." And then you say what it is. You know, it can be an "I have," "I," mm-hmm. "I do," whatever goes along with what you put in. Today is going to be a great day because I am creating X. Mm-hmm. So that's an incantation, and that is a power start. And I'll tell you, if you do an incantation, and there are a few in my book, but if you do one every single day when you first wake up in the morning, and you're just, it will fill you with gratitude, and it will just really make you enthusiastic for the day.
Is that different than visualization? You talk about that as well in the book. So what is visualization?
Okay, visualization is, there's two ways to visualize, and one is you should be able to close your eyes and visualize. So like, whatever your goal is, let's say your goal is to go to Hawaii, you should be able to visualize yourself being there. Mm-hmm. That means that it's real and it's something that you can visualize and actually see happening. The other visualization would be an actual physical chart, and I call it a dream board. And what you do is you take a poster or even a piece of paper, and you can either cut out from magazines or you can print things out from the web, but pictures or words of what your goals are, so that every day you look at that dream board. Mm-hmm. And I have three in my house. I actually have one in my bedroom, I have one hanging in my shower that's in like a big Ziploc bag, and then I have one above my computer, and they're all the same. And I look at it every day, and it's really, what it does is it makes you motivated to take an action step toward your goal, because you know, okay, well, if I do X today, then I'm one step closer to going on that vacation that I want to go on, or I'm one step closer to getting that job that I really want.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So being able to visualize and motivate yourself every day through seeing.
I want to just mention to the listeners and the listeners who listen on a regular basis know that in my previous life, before I got in trouble, I was a school teacher and a football coach, and I also coached track. And we used to play around with this idea with the track athletes of visualization. We used to tell them to picture visualizing yourself going across the finish line, breaking the tape, being in first place. And we found, particularly with the better athletes, that it was an effective technique. So I like that you've got that in the book. You also talk about issues with time. How, Shauna, can we better optimize our time and have just basic better time management? Do you have some advice along those lines?
I do. I talk a lot about time in the book, specifically because the book is for women, and I know women have a lot of, they just have a lot of responsibilities, multitasking.
Absolutely.
The principles work for men and women both, but a lot of the time management things are kind of geared toward that. But
okay.
Let me talk first about one of the major things about reaching your goals is planning out your day. I teach at night, what you need to do is you need to sit down, you need to look at your calendar, and you need to take from your to-do list the items that you can do the next day and put a time with it. What you need to do is schedule your time. So let's say one of your goals is exercise. Okay, at 6 a.m. I'm going to get up and I'm going to exercise. So you know when your alarm goes off exactly what you need to do at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, at 8 o'clock if you work, okay, I have to be to work at 8 o'clock. And at lunchtime, maybe you can plan out, you can take your lunch in and you can have a plan that you can make 3 calls toward your goals. Or you can, I don't really know what kind of goals everybody has, but maybe it's health. Maybe you exercise on your lunch or something like that. But if you plan out your day, what you're going to find is that you're going to spend less time in front of the TV. You're going to get more done because you're organized, and you're going to do the things that need to be done towards your goal, because you're not going to get up and say, oh, now what is it that I need to do today? You actually know and have a plan what you're going to do.
Okay. Now, some of us, and along these same lines, some of us, me, and my wife, maybe, she's going to get mad at me, but we're kind of procrastinators, and you address this in the book, and you do an excellent job of that. How do we get rid of that nasty little habit? Some advice along those lines.
Okay. So breaking a habit, what you need to do is you need to decide, you need to figure out what bad habits you have, and you need to write down your bad habit, and then decide what you need to do to break that habit. And when you, let's see, I'm trying to think, what were the steps that I had?
Well, I was thinking, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking specifically of putting things off, procrastinating.
Okay. So, that all goes along with planning. If you know what you need to do, then you're less likely to procrastinate. And I've kind of gone blank on.
Well, once people experience a little bit of success in using these techniques, does it become easier to, you know?
Oh, yes. Okay. So now I'm on the right track. Sorry, I kind of was thrown off there for a minute. But yes, once you create a habit, what'll happen is if you stop procrastinating and you make it a habit. So let's just take one thing at a time. Let's say that you have a bad habit, or let's say that you want to create a good habit of eating good fruits because you've wanted to eat better for a long time. What you can do is you can take that habit and for 21 days, and only 21 days, and only work on changing this one habit, is every day. So you buy fruit, put it in your house, and you make sure and just eat that fruit every day. Once you've done that for 21 days, then instead of it being a chore or something you have to write down and say, okay, I'm going to eat fruit tomorrow, no, what's going to happen is because you've done it for 21 days or for a month, it's going to be automatic, and it's going to make life so much easier because it's going to be a habit. It's like getting up and brushing your teeth. Well, if you go without brushing your teeth for 21 days, believe me, you're going to have to remind yourself in 3 weeks that you have to brush your teeth every day. And it's the same type of thing, whether you do something or don't do something, it becomes a habit. So if you just make yourself do it for a certain amount of time and you know why it's important, that's a huge part of it, then you'll do it. But put that on your plan of your day. So tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to eat fruit. So even if you want to eat 3 pieces a day, then maybe you say at 7 o'clock and then at noon and then at 5 o'clock, eat my piece of fruit.
Okay.
And then it becomes a habit.
Got it. Okay. Shauna, this is a great book. How do the listeners get a hold of this book?
Oh, they can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's available on Barnes & Noble online. It's also available on Amazon, both in paperback. They can also go to my website if they want me to send a copy, and I'll sign it and personalize it to someone.
Oh, cool.
And that they can go to get there. That's www.shannabeeman.com. And it's spelled shannabeeman.com.
All right. Well, we'll have a link up there when we post this podcast. I feel like we've just scratched the surface here. It's a great book. The book is called The Woman's Guide to Living Your Dreams by Shauna Beeman. Shauna, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All righty. We're going to be back with more right after this. You're listening to The Journey of Hope. I'm Rodney Mather. Thank my special guest, Shauna Beeman, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? So we'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.